Today on Real Radio.
So God had given them the light. They just rejected the light. They rejected the opportunity. And he said to them, you did not believe him. You rejected him. But tax collectors, look at the end, tax collectors and harlots believed him.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. Now in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus is challenged once again by the chief priests and elders of the people. He delivers a scathing revelation to them about others who will enter the kingdom of God before they do. And he does it with yet another parable. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Parable of the Two Sons.
I'd never heard the gospel before. And so when I heard it, it freaked me out. I thought, this is the greatest news I've ever heard. And boy, am I in trouble, and I need it. I mean, I knew in an instant I was in trouble. I mean, I was doing pretty much all those sins that pastor had listed that night in his sermon. I was convicted. But for some of you, you may have said, no, I don't want to know about God. Get out of my face. Maybe you're here tonight. Your friend invited you. And you're saying, look, if I go, will you never ask me about God again? If I go tonight, will you leave me alone? Just know this. Tonight's all for you. Jesus said, hey, here's the deal. There's a guy in the parable of the story when the father reaches out, this kid says, no, and walks away. But then he starts thinking, I don't know if that was right. I tell you what, I'm gonna go do what he said. Isn't that interesting? Now, listen, in the parable, that is sin, isn't it? He did tell the father, no, that's disrespect, that's sin, right? Sin. So mark this down, Bible students. You've got one guy who is the first son, and he says no, but then he goes and does the right thing because he had a change of mind. Okay, then the second son we know here, he says, I will go. These guys are the worst. This guy says, I will go. So now the father is under the delusion that the son is doing the right thing. Are you with me? So imagine that. All right, good. Thank you. I knew I could count on you. By the way, what is also implied but not mentioned is the first son in the Jewish culture, the father would have asked the younger son to go do the menial labor. He says, no, get out. He's the spoiled guy. Yeah, little brat. Maybe he's had everything handed to him. He's a little stinker, entitled little person. And he says, no, but he has a change of mind. The older son is the one who says, yes, sir. He's used to saying yes. Yes, yes, sir. I go, sir. Notice that. Very, very, yes. Yes, father, sir. You got it, dad. You can always count on me. And what does he do? He does not do what he tells his father he's going to do. Now watch this. One, the first boy, sins. That's sin. He sinned, right? Listen, don't be afraid. Go ahead and answer. I want to hear you anyway. So don't be afraid. Did the second son sin or was it worse than sin? Very good. I'm so impressed. You're right. The first boy sinned, and the second boy sinned a sin that's worse. It's called transgression. To sin is to get busy and forget, and you cross the line, and then you realize, you know, it's kind of like your dad says, don't cross this line. And you go, okay. And you're playing life, you're doing stuff and all this. You know, we've all had kids. It's all, don't go in the street. But they're playing kickball in the front yard, and the ball goes out. They're caught up in it, all right? And the kid runs out on the street and gets the ball, and you see him, and you go, what are you doing? And you change his mind for him. You apply the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge so he won't do that again. You love him. And then you have a boy who you say, don't cross this line. Yes, sir. I'll never do that. You mean, what? What line? This line? Yeah, this line. Now, don't get near it. Just leave it alone. Just get away from there. You mean this line right here? Dad, is this the line you told me not to cross? Yeah, this line. Really? That's transgression. Do you know something regarding God's will that God says, don't do this? Do you know it? I mean, don't say anything. Think for a moment. We all know something. God says, don't do this. I've revealed it in my word. Listen, you want to know God's will? Know his word. Listen, this is his will. This is his will. So God says, for example, don't covet other people's stuff. Now, listen. Last Sunday, I have to explain this because some of you drove by me and I'm wondering what you're thinking. Why? A friend of mine came from Huntington Beach, great brother, loves the Lord, super blessed, and he came to service. And he just bought a brand new, did you see it? You did? Oh. He just bought a brand new, totally decked out 2015 Corvette. Now, I don't know if you've seen those, but they're so amazing that Ferraris and Porsches won't even get near them. They just turn away and in shame. And he says to me, you want to drive it? And I said, no, I can't drive it around here. Somebody will see me, and the next thing you know, it'll be Twittered, and no, I can't do it. So we're out here in the church parking lot after third service, and we're looking at it, and I'm standing by it looking like I'm going to get in it. And people were driving by looking, and they're like this. It wasn't my car. It was my friend's car. I didn't drive it. I'm going to go to his house in Huntington to drive it. But I have a Ford truck, okay? That's what I have. And a 67 Volkswagen. And so that's my cars. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. I have to tell you, I'm looking at that thing thinking, oh man, this car was designed probably by the Lord for Coast Highway. And so, you know, you look at that and it's like, man, and then you turn it on and all the displays on the windshield in the glass. Oh, yes. I'm convinced you press a button and missiles come out somewhere, right? Anyway, it's amazing. What's my point? God says, don't covet. And I had to realize, I had to stop. I didn't tell him this, but I'm thinking, oh, this is nice. And I just say, Lord, you just have to get this out of my head. God says, don't covet. Now, listen. If you know the Bible says thou shalt not, by the way, this is what the law is all about. Thou shalt not covet. God's not a bummer. He's trying to keep you from getting killed. He said, man, oh yeah, I'd really like to have that person's house, that person's car, that person's shoes, that person's, I don't know, nose. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want, God says, don't do that. If you pursue it, you are not sinning. It's worse than that. You're transgressing. You didn't fall across the line because you're trying to catch the ball. You went, yeah, I know you say thou shalt not covet, but man, this is cool. And boom, you're with me. This son has said he'll do something and he doesn't do it. And the important thing about this is our words matter. But listen, everybody, we all know words matter. The Bible tells us that out of our mouth should be things that come forth that lift people up. As a Christian, people should know that you and I have been in their presence, not because of our greatness. We don't have any, but because of his righteousness that comes out of our lives. Because you're a Christian, people should, if they're prone to like cussing stuff all the time and you walk into the room, have you ever seen relatives do this at Thanksgiving? It's awesome. You come in the room, hey, how you guys doing? It's all, you know, oh man, blank beep and little beep. And you walk in the room and they go, Anyway, have you ever seen that happen? That's salt and light. That's a good thing. Words matter, but you know what matters more than words? What you do with your life, your deeds, how you live. Christian, what we say, imagine this. I've told you this before, it applies tonight. Imagine if the world and other Christians, imagine if the whole universe was deaf And they couldn't hear. Imagine, nobody had any ears. How would they ever know that I'm a Christian? By my actions. This is an awesome parable announcing. There are those who say they know God all the time. We know God. Father, I know you. Yes, sir. Yep, got it. And then get up and go and never do. And as I thought about that, I found myself in studying for this, going like this in my mind to all those losers. Shame, shame, shame. Whoo, boy, thank you, God, I'm not like that. Thank you, God, I'm not like those losers. And I felt the Lord say, Jack, you know what? If you teach on a verse, let alone just know a verse, and you don't do it, great light has been given to you. Great opportunity, Jack's been given to you. And if you don't do it, you're just like that son who lied to his father in the parable. You knew, but you didn't do. And you imagine in your life, in your life circle and influence where God is, where God sends you every day, do people know that we're Christians by our actions? Forget the words. Christian, listen. Stop listening to people. Watch them. Watch them. I want to, in fact, I wrote this down. I don't even have to look at my notes because I remember it so clearly. It goes without saying, and especially in light of what I just shared with you a moment ago about that car. It was kind of a joking, funny thing, but you know what? For all of us as believers, we should be able to invite the world and even other Christians to judge us. Did you hear what I just said? I don't know if you'll ever hear this again or if it's a very popular thing to say at all, but let's just shatter that ceiling right now and say, as a Christian, you should be able to judge me at all times. So I can't believe you said that. Thou shalt not judge. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says thou shalt not condemn. But you should be able to look at everything of my life. And same for those sitting around you and around me. Why? I think if you live like that, it'd be a healthy, good thing, because you know what? It will keep you from getting a little sloppy. If I was sloppy, I mean, I'm not saying I'm totally not sloppy. If I was totally not sloppy, I wouldn't have stood next to that guy's car. But think about it. If I would have been sloppy, I would have gotten in his car and drove it around town. Woo-woo! Right? And I could have said, if somebody sees me and thinks it's my car, that's their problem. Really? I could never do that. At least I say now I could. I hope I never backslide. You'll know if I'm backslid and I'll drive around town in his car. But I can't do that. Are you with me? Do you understand? When we name the name of the Lord, the Bible says, then we should depart from sin. And why? Because he loves us and he wants us to live. Our actions definitely, you guys, speak. And when the young man says, I'm going to do this thing, look with me, skip down to verse 32. Jesus asked the audience, which one did the will of the Father? Which one did God's will? Is the point of the parable. Now watch this. There's individuals listening, and then there's the representatives of the nation. Are you with me? The religious leaders of Israel are there. And so Jesus asked them, which one did the will of the Father? They all answered in unison. What did they say? The first one. Stop right there. They know what's true. Do you know what's true? Do you claim to know what's true? If you know what's true, Jesus, listen, their attacks, their schemes that they were placing upon him, look what Jesus did. Jesus turns the whole thing around on them and introduces a parable. Remember how powerful a parable is? The parabolos, to cast truth alongside their head. So here it is. Jesus takes his rod and reel with a little bobber on it and a hook, and he goes, and it's right there. And they're standing there in all of their religious pomp. I mean, it's amazing. And they look awesome. They got these incredible outfits on. They got their mitres, you know, those incredible hats. And they're standing there. And Jesus goes, and Jesus is in his robe. And Jesus goes, I tell you what, hang on a second. I'm going to ask you a question. And they're probably like this. Sure, go ahead. We're geniuses. What's your question? And he said, a man had a vineyard and he had two sons. And one said, he's no way he's going to go work. And the other son, the older son, the highly esteemed son, he's the oldest son, he's the first boy. He says, yes, sir, with the mouth. One had a change of mind, the first guy, and he goes and does what the father asked him to do. The second guy who said he would never did. So which one did the will of the father? And there's so, this is what arrogance does. Arrogance puts your foot right in the trap or the foot in the mouth. And they go, we know the answer. This is ridiculous. I can't believe he's even asking us this. This is easy. The first one. And Jesus got him. In fact, if you keep reading that chapter later, that's your homework tonight, it says at the end, and they perceived he was talking about them. Can you imagine their pride, either standing there, and then, boom, they get hit by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says to them, assuredly, verse 31 and 32, he says, assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots will enter the kingdom of God before you. And in that word before, I don't want to push this because it's not the point. The word before you is a remarkable declaration of mercy. Jesus is saying by that word before you that not all of you will be condemned, not all of you will be lost. There'll be some of you out of your ranks that will be saved. I wonder if Nicodemus was in that group. What about Saul of Tarsus? He was a Pharisee. Was he in that group? I don't know. But Jesus says, I wonder what he saw. Listen, are you with me? I wonder what he saw when he was telling them this. These notorious sinners, these drunks, these adulterers, these homosexuals, these muggers, these arrogant people, these, fill in the blank, these jacks, will get into the kingdom before you. He didn't say, they're going to go into the kingdom and you're not. Isn't that amazing? He could have said it. He said, before you, some of you in this ranks, he's saying, will make it into the kingdom. He knew that. And I just wonder who it was. It's kind of cool to think about that. He says in verse 32, for John came to you, John the Baptist, in the way of righteousness. They couldn't find any fault with John. Remember that? Remember when he asked them, you guys, John the Baptist, his ministry, was it of God or was it of man? And they went like this because they were getting ready to kill Jesus. They're always getting ready to kill Jesus. It's an amazing moment. They're all upset and Jesus says, before you guys freak out, can you answer this question? By the way, there's a bunch of people standing around. And Jesus says, so John's ministry, was it of God or was it of man? Was it a man-made thing or was it a God thing? And you could see these guys and they went like this. And they called a huddle. They did. They got in a group and they started talking about it. Because it says they counseled each other corporately, privately. And they said, listen, if we tell the people that it was of God, John's ministry, then they're going to ask us why we didn't believe in John's message. Can't say that. If we say if it's of men, then the people will stone us to death because all these people believe John's a prophet of God. What are we going to do? Isn't that great? They're in this little huddle from hell. Satan's in the middle with a little whistle. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And they start talking. It's like, ah. So then they walk out together in unity. They come out there and they go, Jesus, we're not going to say. That was their answer. Did you know that? We're not going to say. And then Jesus said, then I'm not going to tell you by what authority I do all these miracles. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? So God had given them the light. They just rejected the light. They rejected the opportunity. And he said to them, you did not believe him. You rejected him. But tax collectors, look at the end, tax collectors and harlots believed him. Tax collectors, do you work for the IRS? You can be forgiven. I know it's hard to believe. And harlots, I'm not going to talk about the obvious. If you are not a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are a harlot. You are worshiping paganism of some sort. You say, I don't believe in any of that stuff. Well, then you worship yourself. You worship pleasure, which is hedonism, which is a religion. But they, listen, look at what Jesus says here. And when you saw it, when you Pharisees, you number two son, saw, watch, this is precious. When you religious nincompoops saw these notorious sinners, these common, hopeless, helpless sinners, put their faith in God, you guys scorned them. You looked down upon them and you wouldn't believe. And here's where we're in tonight. This is precious because tonight, in the context of the audience and 21 centuries ago, Jesus collectively takes the human race and he says, they're all sinners. But the difference between those who are going to hell and those who are going to heaven is none of their goodness or the lack thereof. It's their belief in Jesus, their trust in him. And if you are here tonight and you're saying, well, I'm religious, I'm a really good person, then you're number two son. You're not desperate for Jesus. The rest of us are. And maybe tonight you're the one that has said, I don't need God in my life. I'm pretty good. I don't need Jesus. I'm all right. And you tell him no. And maybe you've told, listen, you may be telling him no tonight. But maybe you told him no last week. Maybe you told him no a year ago. Maybe you told him no 10 years. Maybe you told him no 50 years ago. But tonight's your night. When you have said no to him to his face, and you went away from him, and now you've had a change of mind. And you want to know him now. You want to go into the vineyard of the Master.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Two Sons, taken from Matthew chapter 21. The Parable of the Two Sons is part of Pastor Jack's fascinating collection of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we're about to wrap up this series, The Parables of Jesus, and remember that it's available on MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. I've truly enjoyed this series, and I'm sure you have too. Well, you can hear this collection of lessons, The Parables of Jesus, again from the beginning, and as many times as you like, even share them with a friend. And they're yours on MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Simply visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you'll know just exactly what to do. It's real easy. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And remember that because it's Monday, you can watch a new television edition of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, also at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.